step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers back to another episode of the wonderful, beautiful silsila called the Life Chronology of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. In this program, we discuss the blessed timeline, the blessed seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we take the discussion all the way from the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkatul Mukarrama all the way up to his blessed wafat in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. For those viewers who are with us from the very beginning, Alhamdulillah, you are enjoying a wonderful timeline. Alhamdulillah. And those viewers who just joined us now, Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful that you have joined us, and at least now you can build onto the knowledge that you already have, inshallah. However, if you want to find the earlier episodes of this program as well, all the way from the beginning, so that you too can follow up, you'll find them inshallah after this program. You can search for them on the social media pages inshallah ta'ala. Today's topic of discussion is another beautiful topic. Alhamdulillah, we are going to discuss the conquest of Makkah Sharif as well as other events that took place in the 8th year after Hijrah. Yes, the 8th year after Hijrah. On our last program, we were discussing events up to the 7th year after Hijrah. And Alhamdulillah, for today's discussion, we have with us our honorable guest, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib. Marhaba, Mawlana Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Sayyidi?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us, Mawlana Sahib. It's an honor to have you with us. Alhamdulillah. And it is an honor to have our viewers of Madani Channel for joining us. From the beginning of this silsila, Alhamdulillah, they have been with us. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless them with ilma nafi'a. Ameen. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us of various benefits that we receive if we recite salawat. And we try to make it our habit that whenever we begin any discourse or any conversation, we first speak of the benefits of salawat to motivate ourselves to recite salawat and thus increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as you recite salawat upon the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's malaika continue to shower rahmah upon you. So now it is up to you if you want to recite less or you want to recite more. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And we want more rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us, isn't it? Thus, we need to recite salawat in abundance. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we've learned in the previous episode, in the year 6 years after Hijrah, 7 years after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to send letters out to different tribes. And the message of Islam did not just remain national, it started to become international. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept sending letters and sending messengers to invite people to the beautiful deen of Islam. So now it wasn't just local. Now, Alhamdulillah, Islam was spreading even beyond the boundaries of Arabia, Mawlana Sahib. What can you tell us regarding that?
Alhamdulillah, it is a universal religion, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
As our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of every creation of Allah.
Yes.
Likewise, Islam is for all and sundry. Alhamdulillah, whether it is jinn or human, it even extends beyond the human race.
Yes.
And for the jinn, subhanAllah. And mashallah, as Mu'asab has mentioned, the letters were sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some, they respected the letter. Mm-hmm. They honored it, subhanAllah. Some they were disrespectful towards it. And first of all, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the letters to these countries, Abyssinia, Egypt and Persia.
Right.
When he sent the letter to Persia, and the king was Khusru Parviz.
Yes.
So when the letter reached him, he was an arrogant person. So he didn't like the content of the letter. He said, how come that he put, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put his name before the king's name? Allahu Akbar. And he took it upon his ego.
Mm.
And he shredded that letter to pieces and threw it away.
Right.
He disrespected. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to know, he actually made dua. And what happened? And the effect of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that his own son, in his sleep, he assassinated his own father.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, those who had shown any sort of disrespect towards the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all had a horrible end. Be it Abu Jahl, be it Abu Lahab, be it Abu al-Bakhtari, be it Umayyah bin Khalaf, yes. And this king was no exception.
Most definitely.
And subhanallah, when the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the king of Egypt, he didn't embrace Islam, but rather he showed respect and honor to the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew this is coming from the grand king, Allahu Akbar. And he actually had sent many gifts for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of these gifts were in the form of, you know, female slaves, two female slaves. One was Sayyida Maria Qibtiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, from whom Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born. And mashallah, there were other gifts as well. And they honored the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they reciprocated in this way. The third place the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the 7th Hijri was to Abyssinia. Mm-hmm. And mashallah, King Najashi, we all know he embraced Islam, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. And this letter benefited me in that way, mashallah. And these were the three letters that are mentioned as per the events, the major events that occurred in the year 7 Hijri, alhamdulillah. And the letter, the message of Islam had crossed borders by then. And after that, there was no stopping it.
Subhanallah. Azza wa Jalla. So now from 7 Hijri into 8 Hijri, we see a continuation of that da'wah. A continuation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending out letters to various kings in order for them to also see and then perhaps taste the sweetness of Islam as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent one of his senior ashab, Sayyidina Harith bin Umayr radiallahu ta'ala, and Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him with a letter to the king of a place called Busra. Whilst he was going to this place that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent him, along the way, a ruler of a place called Balqa, the place called Balqa, its ruler was Sharjil bin Amr. He captured Sayyidina Harith ibn Umair. So he captured the messenger of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was very harsh towards the messenger of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew that the messenger of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to invite people towards Islam. And so what he did, he captured the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tied him with strings, with ropes, and he whipped him to death. Allahu Akbar. What a difficult and what a painful torture and torment this king or this ruler had issued upon the Sahabi of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahabi became shaheed in that way, that he has given his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in delivering the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this news came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely saddened that his blessed messenger, his blessed sahabi, who he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent out on such an important task of da'wah, such an important task of delivering the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the deen of Islam, and he is intercepted along the way. And this is the kind of treatment that they gave to the messenger of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared an army.
Subhanallah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared an army of 3,000 and sent them out towards that king, towards that ruler who had tortured and then killed the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But see the rahmah of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'd expect that this army is just to attack immediately. Why? Because the opposition has done something so grave that they killed the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs them that first give them an invitation to Islam. If they accept Islam, then all is fine. They are forgiven.
And this is the common theme, Sayyidi, seen, alhamdulillah, in all the expeditions.
Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never the one to initiate a fight. He was there to put a stop to all the fights.
Alhamdulillah.
But some people, due to, you know, having the arrogance sometimes,
yes,
you know, to flex their muscles. Oh, you don't know my power, my might, my army is so huge. And they were greatly mistaken.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the army of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them the command that first invite towards Islam. And only if they reject, then you fight them. If they reject, then you fight them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made three flag bearers. The first flag bearer was Sayyidina Zayd bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala, and whom Mawlana Sahib spoke about just now, the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very dear sahabi to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if Zayd bin Harith becomes shaheed, then Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an, who is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is to take the flag.
Subhanallah.
And then if Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an becomes shaheed, then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, he is to take the flag and he is to lead the army. And thereafter, if he becomes shaheed, then whoever the army does elect, he should lead the army. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared them that you are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are going out for shahada. Do not be afraid of shahada. As they were on their way, the message came to them that the Caesar of Rome, the king, the ruler of the entire Rome, he had come to Balqa himself with an army of 100,000. Allahu Akbar. 100,000, and these are just 3,000 ashab that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent. And the Caesar of Rome was waiting in Balqa with an army of 100,000. So now you have 100,000 of the Romans and just 3,000 ashab. However, message also reached them as per some narrations of Sirah. You find that another 100,000 Christian Arabs were going to join the Caesar of Rome. Making the Romans 200,000 against the Muslims that are just 3,000. Allah.
That's like close to 250,000.
Yeah, Allah.
And
it is so much.
There's a growing trend, yes. There's a growing trend when we, alhamdulillah, follow the events of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the time of migration.
Yes.
First of all, the Battle of Badr.
Yes.
313 as opposed to 950 or close to 1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we see in the Battle of Uhud,
yes,
1,000 ashab as opposed to 3,000 the Kufar,
yes,
army. Then we look at Khandaq.
Right.
There again, there was a huge mismatch. Then we go to Battle of Khaybar.
Mm-hmm.
There the Muslims were 1,600 as opposed to 20,000 enemies.
Allahu Akbar.
And now here, it went beyond the limits now.
Yes.
Now, there is no match.
At all.
There you could actually get to, okay, exponentially, you know, this is what the number
is.
Yeah,
1:3 and 1:4. And now you're seeing it's such a large difference between the Muslim army and the army of the Kuffar. Even if you were just to consider the 100,000 that Caesar was waiting with, Muslims are just 3% of that. And yet they are fighting against such a huge army. So at this point, Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala consults with his fellow soldiers that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent out. And these are ashab of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says to them that this number within the army of the Caesar is a very large number. Should we camp here, wait here, and send a message back to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to request for more troops, to request for more assistance? And the ashab, they respond to him in such a magnificent way. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, he says to Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, that, O Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, we are not going out in order to gain mali ghanimat, in order to gain the spoils of war, in order to become wealthy with their wealth. No, that's not our intention. We are going out with the aim of shahada, with the aim of us becoming martyrs in the path of Allah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And therefore, the Muslims gained more courage and they said, let us go out. We are not turning back. We are moving forward. And subhanallah, they went out. They went out and they fought very fiercely. They fought very bravely. Firstly, they had extended the da'wah of Islam to the disbelievers, but they did not accept. And so the fight began between the Muslims and the kuffar. And true to the word of Rasulullah ﷺ, as the fight went on and it became more and more intense, each of the flag bearers of the Muslim army began to fall away. First, Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he fought so fiercely until he became shaheed in the path of Allah, until his blessed life had left his body in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next flag bearer was Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala. By that point, he wasn't yet called Tayyar. He was known as Ja'far bin Abi Talib. He took the flag of Islam and subhanallah, he went forth and he fought very bravely until his arms were chopped off in that battle. He had lost his arms and eventually he became shaheed in that battle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinatul Munawwara witnessing all of this. As per the narrations regarding this battle, as Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an had fallen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informing his ashab as if he is watching the battle of Mu'tah. This battle's name is called the Battle of Mu'tah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informing his ashab that Sayyidina Zayd, he has fallen, he has become shaheed, and Sayyidina Ja'far, he has now taken the flag. Then Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala has become shaheed, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala has taken the flag. Allahu Akbar. This Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, when his arms were chopped off, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sayyidina Ja'far two wings in place of his two arms that he is flying within Jannah.
Subhanallah.
And thus he is called Ja'far Tayyar. Tayyar means the one who is flying. Subhanallah, because of his two janahain, because of his two wings that he had been blessed with, he is called Ja'far Tayyar.
Flying soldier of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah, Azza wa Jal, already towards his Jannah. And that is the ranking, the status of the Shaheed, that a Shaheed, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, his place is Jannah. The one who is Shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, he takes the flag and he fights on until he radiallahu ta'ala also passes away. He's also made shaheed. And then the Muslims elect Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he had actually just recently accepted Islam. After a little while, as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was made, and alhamdulillah, the disbelievers were coming towards the Muslims and gradually accepting Islam. But Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was a very brave soldier. Very excellent soldier, alhamdulillah. And at that point, the army was surrounding the believers so fiercely that it was difficult to even come out of their grasp. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala fought so strategically that he managed to take the believers out of the grasp of the disbelievers, and they had gained lots of spoils of war as well and returned to Madinatul Munawwara. Look at the losses faced by either side. The Muslims had lost 12 soldiers. 12 had become shaheed, and Jalilul Qadr ashab, very senior ashab as well, they had become shaheed in the path of Allah in this battle. But as per some narrations, in this battle of Mu'tah, the opposition side that was so large had lost approximately 20,000 soldiers.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. 12 lost on the side of the believers, but 20,000 lost on the side of the kuffar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. However, this had caused much grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that such honorable ashab, such senior ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had become shaheed. Along the way, whilst things were going on, before the ashab returned, an informant came to give the message regarding the battle to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give the news regarding the battle to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, are you going to inform me or would you like me to inform you? So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please inform me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to describe the battle to him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had lifted the veils from that battle to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to inform bit by bit regarding the battle. He said that, Wallahi, I believe without doubt that you are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have not left out any detail.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his concern, his compassion towards his sahaba, his Sahaba weren't just a number in his army.
Absolutely, most definitely.
As opposed to how the armies are usually, right? To a general, army general, or to a commander, or to a king, army is just a number, one soldier.
Yes.
And they are on a payroll. He's gone. Maybe some money will be given to the families to carry on, and then he's forgotten. Give a medal and carry on.
Yes.
But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, his Sahaba really meant to him what a child would mean to his father.
Absolutely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the home of Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar, radiallahu ta'ala, and called, "Where are the children of Ja'far Tayyar?" And when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to cry. Tears began to flow from his blessed eyes, and he began to kiss them. That the wife of Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu anha asked, "Is there any news?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the news that Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and his companions, they have become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave so much of mahabba and so much of love and care to the children of Sayyidina Ja'far al-Tayyar. You see that there's the feeling of brotherhood and there's the feeling of love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving and instilling in the hearts of the Sahaba. That you are brothers unto each other and you are all beloved to me. That I will look after you. Those who have no one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there for them. Subhanallah azza wa jalla.
So Sayyidi, first of all, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, we have seen him at the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah.
Yes.
Right. He radiallahu ta'ala, when he went and there was a rumor that he's been martyred. Rasulullah and all his Sahaba, he was actually taken a bayah from them.
Yes.
That, you know, now the fight and the battle has become incumbent upon us. Fard upon us. We have to go and fight now.
Allah.
Subhanallah. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Look at for one Sahabi.
Yes.
They were all prepared to get martyred. Again. In this instance, it was one Sahabi who was intercepted.
Allah.
And then he sent the army.
Yes.
To avenge that one Sahabi.
You see that every life of every Sahabi means the world to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this kind of love for each other. This kind of care that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, the Muslims went out. Yes, we suffered losses. The Muslim army suffered the loss of 12 shuhada. And subhanallah azza wa jal, those 12 shuhada have great stations in Jannah. However, alhamdulillah, there was a very strong message that was passed and a very successful encounter that the Muslims had faced the Romans with. Was there any other battles or sariyat? We have ghazawat and sariyat. So these are some sariyat that we are discussing, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent out an army on his behalf, on behalf of the believers, that they were to fulfill a task. Were there any other sariyat that had taken place within the year 8 AH, Mawlana Sahib?
Yes, there was one sariyat, and it is, alhamdulillah, it has got a very unique name.
Right.
And one would think, why? It's named Sariyatul Khabt.
Okay.
And Khabt in Arabic, it refers to the leaves of the trees.
All right, so this is the sariyat of Leaves,
yes.
Why would it be called that?
Exactly. Why? And once we know the socio-historic background of this sariyah, then we would know it is not really as funny as it sounds. And alhamdulillah, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had gone to keep a watch of the Kuffar's movement. And this place was near ocean.
All right.
And they were sent there. And they were low on their supplies and resources. Subhanallah. But the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were determined that the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 1 month, they had to stay there. Their watch post, you know, as we have at our borders, watch post.
Right.
And they were on the watch post, appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And slowly, as days went by, their supplies, they started to run out. And somewhere towards the middle, it came to a stage where they could only share one date to each one.
Allah.
One date, to survive on one date for the whole day. This is no easy feat. So they would survive on that. And there came a time even those dates were finished. And it was at that time they were forced to eat the leaves of trees and survive. And hence the name Sariyatul Khabt. Why? Because they had to eat the leaves of the trees to survive. And they spent quite a bit of time in this state until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed His mercy upon them. Miraculously, Sayyidi. Out of nowhere, a gigantic fish appeared from the ocean and it was washed off on the shore.
Ah, oh, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Now this fish, it wasn't a small fish. You would think one fish, how many people it could feed?
Right.
It was such a huge fish that after the flesh was eaten and everything, they erected the two bones from its rib cage, mm-hmm. each one, and it formed an arch.
Right.
And a camel, loaded camel, could pass through it.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. So Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they stayed after the fish was discovered, mm-hmm. and they started eating its flesh. It lasted them for 16 days.
Allah.
They all could eat and satiate themselves, alhamdulillah, and there was still to spare. And on their journey back to Madinah Munawwara, they took some with them, and its fat, they wore it as they, you know, to cover their bodies. Subhanallah. And when they took this fish to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard about this, he said, that yes, it was food sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And then they gave some to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he consumed it, mashallah.
Wow.
As you know, as a tabarruk, because it was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also got to taste this.
Wow.
And mashallah. And this is how this expedition came to a conclusion. There was no fights.
Alhamdulillah.
Obviously. And but it is a unique passage in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So the message was spreading, and as per the conditions sent within the Treaty of Hudaybiyah as well, that Muslims could form allies with any other tribes, that any tribe could form allies with the believers. Any other tribe can also form allies with the Quraysh of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so the believers also had some allies. The Muslims also had some allies that they formed treaties of allegiance with as well. And among the allies of the believers, of the Muslims, was a tribe called Banu Khaza'a. Banu Khaza'a, they were allies of the believers, alhamdulillah. And among the allies of the Quraysh was another tribe called Banu Bakr. So Banu Bakr was a tribe that was an ally of the Quraysh. Banu Khaza'a was a tribe that was an ally of the believers in Madinatul Munawwara. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So when each party had their allies, now it was well known among the Arabs as well that you were not to attack anyone's ally. If you do attack someone's ally, they will retaliate on behalf of their ally. And we had the Treaty of Hudaybiyah that allowed this making of allies. And it was understood that you are not to attack anyone's ally. Like in today's time as well, just consider it as a family. If someone attacks your brother, of course it would hurt you, because you have a relationship with him. The allies had this relationship with each other.
The friend of a friend is a friend.
Yeah, the friend of a friend is a friend, of course. However, the Quraysh of Makkah al-Mukarramah, along with the Banu Bakr, they had attacked the Banu Khaza'a, and the Banu Khaza'a were the allies of the Muslims. So it was as if they are attacking the Muslims, because they are attacking those that the Muslims have joined forces with. And the Treaty of Hudaybiyah had stated that that could not be the case. You were not to fight with each other. But now the Quraysh, together with Banu Bakr, together had attacked Banu Khaza'a. And Banu Khaza'a was an ally of the believers. They had attacked Banu Khaza'a. And thereafter, when the Banu Khaza'a tried to run to the Haram of Makkah in order to gain safety, because it was known that you were not to fight, not to harm anyone who is in the Haram near the Kaaba. So once Banu Khaza'a ran there to get safety from the Quraysh and Banu Bakr, there in the Haram, the Quraysh and the Banu Bakr together killed 23 members of the Banu Khaza'a. Allahu Akbar. At this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinatul Munawwara, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing wudu in the house of Sayyidah Maymunah radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And it is mentioned that Sayyidah Maymunah radiyallahu ta'ala anha witnessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that labbaik, labbaik, you have been helped, you have been helped. After the wudu, Later, Sayyidah Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it that had caused you to say this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that our allies, they have been attacked and they've been calling us for assistance. They've been calling us for help. So I was stating that we will assist them. And 3 days later, the representatives of the Banu Khaza'a came to Madinatul Munawwara and asked for help from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stating that they have been attacked. But alhamdulillah, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal had already informed him regarding this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assured them that don't worry, we will assist you, we will help you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ensured the Banu Khaza'a that don't worry, we will assist you. And thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent a message from Madinatul Munawwara all the way to Makkatul Mukarramah to the Quraysh. Now we give you one of three choices. Pay their blood money. Pay their blood money. Blood money was a certain amount that was to be given in exchange of every person who was wrongfully killed from a tribe. So that means the Quraysh was now to pay the blood money to Banu Khaza'a. Option number one. Option number two is that the Quraysh was to end their alliance with the Banu Bakr. Because the Quraysh already had an alliance with Banu Bakr, and because of being the allies of Banu Bakr, they had attacked Banu Khaza'a.
Yes.
So that was option number two, end your alliance with Banu Bakr. And option number three, if you don't want to do either of them, then announce, you should announce, meaning the Quraysh should announce that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah has ended, that we are calling off the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So these were the three options. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent this message to the Quraysh together, their leaders had a look at these three options and they said, well, option number one is that we pay the blood money of Banu Khaza'a. We are not doing that. Option number two is that we end our alliance with Banu Bakr and we are not prepared to do that. Option number three is that we announce that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah has ended.
Yes.
And they said, well, okay, let's choose that. So they chose that. And the messengers of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then left Makkatul Mukarramah, returned to Madinatul Munawwara.
Allahu Akbar. And then Sayyidi, you've mentioned that they chose a third option. I feel, you know, they were the kind of people who would make shaitan their advisor. Remember what happened in Darun Nadwa?
Yes. Shaitan was actually their advisor.
Yes. So whose advisor is shaitan? They are going to go for something that is causing bloodshed.
Yes.
And this is the option they're choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Because ending the treaty meant no peace.
Right. So they chose to end the treaty, although they were the ones who were being favored by the treaty. However, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made that treaty such that at that point when the treaty was formed and thereafter, many benefits came to the Muslims from the treaty, although the believers were still suppressed to a certain extent. And now it was that very Quraysh who had been in favor of the treaty and the treaty was made in favor of them. They were asking for the treaty to end. So when the message went back to the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the Quraysh realized that we have just given up something that would have benefited us a lot. We are putting ourselves in loss by us cancelling the treaty, because if we are going to cancel the treaty, it's possible that we could be attacked and it's possible that war could break out. And they are hearing now about all the various places at which the Muslims have defended or the Muslims have counter-attacked and how successful the Muslims are. So there's a sense of fear within the Quraysh as well. And so they decided to elect one of the most prominent figures of Makkatul Mukarramah and request him to go to Madinatul Munawwara to please now plead that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah be reinstated. And who did they elect for this? They elected Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was one who was very respected in Makkatul Mukarramah. He was a very honored tribe leader in Makkatul Mukarramah. And so they sent him that, please, you go and request that the treaty be reinstated. We made a mistake by announcing that the treaty has ended. However, the treaty had already ended. So Abu Sufyan got to Madinatul Munawwara, and whose house did he go to first? The first place he went to was the house of his daughter Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. So his daughter had become a Muslim, alhamdulillah, and she was the blessed wife of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whilst at the same time she was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So Abu Sufyan had chosen to go to her blessed house. When he went to her house, he first tried to sit down on a mat that he found upon the floor. He wanted to sit upon the mat. And immediately Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha hastens towards the mat and she removes the mat. That no, you do not sit on that mat. And he asked that, why is it that I shouldn't sit on the mat? Is the mat too lowly for me to sit upon, or am I too lowly to sit upon the mat? Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha says, you are in the state of being a mushrik. I cannot let a mushrik sit upon the pure mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's speaking to someone who is her father. Her father, but she has more honor for the mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than to allow her father, who has not yet entered the deen of Islam, to sit upon that mat.
Subhanallah.
And Abu Sufyan starts to request. He asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please, we made a mistake. Let us reinstate the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ignores it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not respond to him. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns away. The same Abu Sufyan goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala with the same request. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala does not agree to it. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not agreed to it. There's nothing we can do. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala gives the same response. He goes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that we do not interfere with the intention or the actions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala then advises him that you can try to make the announcement from your side and see if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does agree with you, then you could have a treaty again if Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agrees. So hopelessly, he goes to Masjid Nabawi Sharif and he makes an announcement that I myself am reinstating the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. But nobody pays attention to it. When he returns to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he tells the disbelievers of Makkah al-Mukarramah what had happened, they ask that did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agree to the treaty? And he says, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't. And then it is told to him that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't agree to the treaty, then there is no treaty. And nobody wants to face the beautiful master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in battle. Yes, alhamdulillah, for those who believe, he is rahmah. Alhamdulillah, for those who believe, then they enjoy his blessed company. And those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cause difficulty to the believers, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves these very believers very much. Alhamdulillah, as he loves us so dearly. Let's listen to his praise, the one who loves us. And let's increase our love for him, inshallah, through listening to this beautiful kalam. And immediately after the kalam, inshallah, we're going to be back to continue with this beautiful discussion. Please don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Enjoy this kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aagaye sarkar, nabiyon ke sardar, jo jag ke mukhtar, hai sab ke ghamkhar. Ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai, ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai. Aqa ki amad marhaba, data ki amad marhaba, A'la ki amad marhaba, bala ki amad marhaba, aula ki amad marhaba, wala ki amad marhaba, rasool ki amad marhaba, maqbool ki amad marhaba, huzoor ki amad marhaba, ur noor ki amad marhaba, bashir ki amad marhaba, nazir ki amad marhaba, awwal ki amad marhaba, aakhir ki amad marhaba, batin ki amad marhaba, zahir ki amad marhaba. Ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai, ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai, ye jashn-e-habib-e-khuda ho raha hai, ye jashn-e-habib-e-khuda ho raha hai, ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai.
Ye kyun aaj hota hai ghar ghar charaagha, ye kyun aaj hota hai ghar ghar charaagha, jahan ka sama kyun naya ho raha hai.
Ye jashn-e-habib-e-khuda ho raha hai, ye jashn-e-habib-e-khuda ho raha hai, ye meelad-e-khair-ul-wara ho raha hai.
Zamane pe kyun aaj hai noor chhaya, zamane pe kyun aaj hai noor chhaya, ye کیوں ذکر صلی علی ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
کیوں جبریل جھنڈا لیے آ رہے ہیں کیوں جبریل جھنڈا لیے آج کیا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
گئے سرکار جھومو نبیوں کے سردار جھومو جو جگ کے مختار جھومو ہیں سب کے غمخار
سارے
کعبہ گاڑے ہیں جبریل جھنڈا سارے کعبہ گاڑے ہیں جبریل جھنڈا عالم تیرا دنیا پہ واہ ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا
حضور کی آمد
مرحبا
پر نور کی آمد
مرحبا
بشیر کی آمد
مرحبا
نذیر کی آمد
مرحبا
اول کی آمد
مرحبا
آخر کی آمد
مرحبا
باطن کی آمد
مرحبا
ظاہر کی آمد
مرحبا
ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب زباں سے یہ ان کی ادا ہو رہا ہے
مرحبا
رب قبلی امتی کہتے ہوئے پیدا ہوئے رب قبلی امتی کہتے ہوئے پیدا ہوئے حق نے فرمایا کہ بخشا صلاۃ والسلام ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب زباں سے یہ ان کی ادا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
گئے سرکار
جھومو
نبیوں کے سردار
جھومو
دو جگ کے مختار
جھومو
ہیں سب کے غمخار
جھومو
کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے خدا کی خدائی کے مختار آئے مبارک تمہیں غم کے مارو مبارک مداوائے غم بن کے غمخار آئے سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے وہ ہم عاصیوں کے طرف دار آئے یتیموں کے والی غریبوں کے حامی وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ گناہوں سے نفرت ہو اچھائیوں پر مجھے پیار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ ہمیں اپنا غم دو شاہ چشم نم کے طلبگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر مدینے میں ہر سال آتار آئے
آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا
رسول کی آمد
مرحبا
مقبول کی آمد
مرحبا
حضور کی آمد
مرحبا
پر نور کی آمد
مرحبا
بشیر کی آمد
مرحبا
نذیر کی آمد
مرحبا
اول کی آمد
مرحبا
آخر کی آمد
مرحبا
باطن کی آمد
مرحبا
ظاہر کی آمد
مرحبا
یہ نورانی صورت دوحاہا کے جلوے تو واللیل گیسو نما ہو رہا ہے ہے ہونٹوں پہ قربان رعنائی یہ گل ہے ہونٹوں پہ قربان رعنائی یہ گل تبا سن پہ بلبل فدا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
یہ کہتی تھی گھر گھر میں جا کر حلیمہ میرے گھر میں خیر الورا آ گئے ہیں بڑے اوج پر ہے میرا اب مقدر میرے گھر حبیب خدا گئے ہیں اٹھی چار سو رحمتوں کی گھٹائیں معطر معطر ہے ساری فضائیں خوشی میں یہ جبریل نغمے سنائیں وہ شافیع روز جزا آ گئے ہیں یہ ظلمت سے کہہ دو کہ ڈیرے اٹھا لے کہ ہیں ہر طرف اب اجالے اجالے کہا جن کو حق نے سراجم منیرا میرے گھر وہ نور خدا آ گئے ہیں یہ سن کر سبھی آپ کا آستانہ ہے دامن پسارے ہوئے سب زمانہ ولادت کا صدقہ نگاہ کرم تیرے گدا آ گئے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
زمانے کے غم بھول جاتے ہیں اس کو تیرے در جو حاضر گدا ہو رہا ہے گما دے طوفانی کو اپنی ولا میں گما دے طوفانی کو اپنی ولا میں یہ دنیا کے غم میں فنا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا
حضور کی آمد
مرحبا
پر نور کی آمد
مرحبا
بشیر کی آمد
مرحبا
نذیر کی آمد
مرحبا
اول کی آمد
مرحبا
آخر کی آمد
مرحبا
گئے سرکار
جھومو
نبیوں کے سردار
جھومو
دو چک کے مختار
جھومو
ہیں سب کے غمخوار
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
Subhanallah, subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam in praise of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time we listen to his blessed praise, we feel more and more close to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. It's meant to increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that recitation of Quran is also to increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala speaks of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so many times in Quran and encourages us towards following the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our love must lead us to following his blessed sunnah, alhamdulillah. And we were discussing the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were at the point at which the Treaty of Hudaybiyah had been broken and then called off by the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah. And they understood and they knew that us having broken this treaty and then us having ended this treaty is going to result in battle. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything to them, did not say that there is a battle to come, did not say that there is any tension to come between the Muslims and the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah. Abu Sufyan returned to Makkatul Mukarramah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed his ashab radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that prepare for battle. Prepare for battle. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha that you take out my armor. So Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was taking out and preparing the blessed armor of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are going to battle. But the Ashab did not know for sure as to where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going. Even Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala went to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and asked, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that you should take out his armor? She said, yes. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell you where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to battle? She says, no. This Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't mention. So the Ashab, they were just given the command, prepare for battle. They themselves didn't know where they're going to. But immediately they said, labbaik, and they prepared.
SubhanAllah.
This shows that how readily they accept the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu says, do, they don't ask what, where, when, why, who. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, it is our duty to follow. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And thus they prepared and they were to go out. However, some may have had some idea of where they are going. But Munasab, did it reach the kuffar of the Quraysh with certainty that the believers are coming to Makkah al-Mukarramah?
Yes, there were some speculations. They're like if you put two and two together, you have an idea.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. When these kuffar, they did what they did, they had it coming.
Right, most definitely.
At the time that they thought that, you know what, they can have their cake and eat it too.
Mm.
They had the treaty in place and they thought they could violate the treaty and get away with it.
Mm.
But no, Rasulullah didn't let it slide.
Alhamdulillah.
Gave them three options and out of their ego, accepted the third option. And when they realized, oh, we made a mistake, so be it.
Right.
And this time they tried to mend. It wasn't actually a sincere approach. You know, because they knew now their strength had been cut to size.
Right.
Now they saw that, you know what, this time now, if we retaliate, we got no upper hand. So at this state of confusion, when he was turned away, Abu Sufyan, from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then later from his future khulafa, subhanallah, and true representation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his commands is the command of Khulafa Rashidin, subhanallah. And the rest of the Sahaba, they agreed to the code. He came and he made an announcement. He blurted out, but it was no agreement, right?
Yes.
It wasn't met with any positive feedback or anything as such.
Correct.
However, he returned empty-handed. He didn't get what he want. And then at the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to surprise them. And he told the Ashab, prepare for the battle. Mm-hmm. Anytime Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to do something, he always said, Samina watana. They didn't question the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what makes you a believer.
Alhamdulillah.
Mu'min who has faith, who accepts. A kafir is he who rejects. And same thing happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned from the direction of Baitul Maqdis to the Holy Kaaba.
Yes.
Subhanallah. And in the state of Salah, the Sahaba also turned after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the munafiqun, those hypocrites, it brought out the enmity, the hatred that they were harboring inside.
Right.
مَا وَلَّهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. That what turned them from the qibla that they were on before. Allahu Akbar. But the Sahaba, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَانَا. Here also the Sahaba said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَانَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And many Sahaba, they still had families in Makkah Mukarramah. And there was a great Badri Sahabi of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sayyidina Hatib Ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala, who had families there. And he had this concern that, you know what, if we're going to launch an attack with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his company on Makkah Mukarramah, then the kuffar, they would just for spite's sake, they would go and hurt the family members. So to safeguard his family members, he wrote to them the letter that, you know what, there's going to be an attack from the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just want one favor from you. I'm informing you. In return, you do me this favor. Just protect my family. And then this letter then was intercepted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the information of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent the Sahaba behind the messenger who was taking this letter. And when the letter was intercepted, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked Sayyidina Hatib ibn Abi Balta radiallahu ta'ala to be presented and to explain himself. He didn't reprimand him. He just wanted to hear his side.
Alhamdulillah.
What motivated you? What made you do this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had great compassion for his sahaba. He wouldn't just, you know, abruptly speak to them or pass remarks over them. There were people that had remarked in a very harsh way upon the actions of Sayyidina Hatib ibn Balta radiallahu ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put it all to rest. This is between the sahabi and his master. Subhanallah. He is in the court of the master, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to explain himself. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I was just trying to safeguard the family. This wouldn't hinder our conquest of Makkah Mukarramah." Subhanallah. And in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood his concern, and he didn't reprimand him. He didn't punish him for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had initially mentioned in the Holy Quran forgiveness for all the sahaba that partook in the Battle of Badr. Glad tiding for them, subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, if somebody has been with you for a long time, when there was nobody with you, you wouldn't just look past it.
Yes.
You would remember the old times. No one should forget about their beginnings, how they started. You know, the friends that helped along the way. And these were the 313 sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When everyone else was in opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were the true flag bearers of the kalima of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this battle was the first decisive battle in the seerah of Rasulullah between truth and falsehood. And they were the pioneers of that battle.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. So for all time's sake, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had pardoned him and understood his concern. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his leadership, he takes the sahaba under his wings and marches forth towards Makkah Mukarramah.
Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started this march on the 10th of Ramadan. 10th of Ramadan, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ashab were fasting. Ramadan is the month of fasting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marched with the ashab, and there were 10,000 ashab in number. This is a huge battalion, a huge army that is going out towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. As time went on, the numbers grew from 10,000 to 12,000 by more tribes joining as well. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at a certain point within the day in the month of Ramadan, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam broke his blessed fast, and the ashab could see him, and the ashab broke their fast as well, because they were on journey, they were heading out in a battle. It was the heat of the desert of Arabia. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued this journey until they got close to Makkah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab got close to Makkah at a place called Marr al-Dhahran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to camp there with his ashab for the night. And the ashab, remember, at least 10,000 in number, in fact growing even further, camping at a certain place close to Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his ashab, part of his wisdom, we're going to see here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instructed his ashab that each of you light your own fire.
Subhanallah.
Each of you light your own fire, because they would need fire for warmth during the night, staying under the open sky. They would also need fire for cooking, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed each of you light your own fire. Imagine 10,000 fires.
Subhanallah.
All lit right around. What an impact that creates. What a scene that is. How huge that number is.
From 10,000, like a small town.
Allahu Akbar. From 10,000 to 12,000 fires you see. And very wisely, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so, because the kuffar from the Quraysh send certain spies to go and check where are the Muslims, where has the army reached, how far are they, how many are they in number, are we able to combat them, are we able to face them and possibly destroy them. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, they could not destroy the believers. However, one of the spies, Abu Sufyan, along with some others, had come out and they had seen at least 10,000 fires ahead of them.
SubhanAllah.
What could have been the state at this point?
10,000 fires. Actually, see, this was actually the beautiful wisdom of Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And he is the wisest mind in the creation of Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Every prophet, you know, their intellect in comparison to the entire world, the population of the entire world, is many folds.
Alhamdulillah.
One mind of one prophet of Allah. And all the minds of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined, they are in the same state as comparison to the brilliance and the intellect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his wisdom, subhanallah. So in this way, it is looking larger than life. Subhanallah. And they are intimidated by it. They are intimidated by it. I think the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the expeditions, they used a certain tactic to appear themselves as, you know, as they are fresh. Because many days you are fighting the battle. And when they received some reinforcement from Madina Munawwara, then they put that fresh battalion in the front. But the enemies got scared. They got reinforcements, subhanallah. And they got, the army is huge now. Whereas that wasn't the case. They just swapped faces. Subhanallah. And mashallah, this was the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was inherited by the Sahaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew the wisdom of, you know, expeditions and the battles and how to really, you know, first battle is the psychological battle. Half of the battle is fought off the ground. And then the rest is fought on the ground.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us the way. This is how it's done. So alhamdulillah, Sayyidi, after having this grand spectacle that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had put on show, you know, by his wisdom, mashallah. After Abu Sufyan, who's the spy here, he sees in the company of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already advised Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala to take him to an elevated place from where he could see that all the armies approaching the city of Makkah from different directions, all troops of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was really taken aback.
Yes.
If this army had to, you know, attack on Makkah Mukarramah, they would trample us over like ants. And he realized that this was the time to surrender, to come into the folds of Islam, to come to safety, subhanAllah. Islam is safety. Come to safety, Allahu Akbar, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in a grand style and he entered Makkah Mukarramah. And all the Sahaba, they are, subhanAllah, so happy to be back home. Alhamdulillah, it was their home.
Right.
When they came back home, all the Muhajirun Sahaba, but they haven't forgotten what was done to them.
Allahu Akbar.
They haven't forgotten what was done to them. And you know, revenge is the dish best served cold. And some Sahaba were of the opinion, and they were making remarks, looking at the kuffar of Makkah. This worried Abu Sufyan. It got him worried. When the Sahaba said, Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama, watch out, what we're going to do to you today. What the Muslim army is going to do to us. The Sahaba, he knew how they persecuted them prior to the migration. And now it's all coming back. Time to pay back. And then Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who he understood his concerns, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama, referring to that, what the Sahaba were initially saying. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cleared the air. He said, no, Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama, today is the day of mercy. Subhanallah, the mercy personified from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Subhanallah. And you see that mercy from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his blessed entry into Makkah al-Mukarramah. One of the first announcements Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, when the Meccan people saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw the might of the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately they became fearful. They were running and looking for, where can we be safe today? Where can we hide? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave safety. That safety is for the one who surrenders. Whoever surrenders, he is given safety. Whoever is enclosed within their homes, whoever goes into their homes and shuts their doors, he is also given safety. Whoever enters the Kaaba, he is also given safety. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave a ruling in favor of Abu Sufyan that whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he is also given safety.
Subhanallah.
So Abu Sufyan, at this point, he advised the people. He said, "O people, you have not seen the extent of the army that I have seen. Today, listen to me. We are not capable of standing against them. Please come and enter my home and be safe." When his home was full, then he said, "At least enter your own homes and shut your doors, because in your own homes you are also given safety." Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So this was a very peaceful takeover of Makkatul Mukarrama by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested not to have any bloodshed. There was some bloodshed that took place. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was commanded to enter the city from a different direction. And he did so with an army as well to create a very strong impression as well. However, certain individuals of Makkatul Mukarrama had attacked him and attacked his army. And thus, he had the responsibility of defending himself. When they attacked him, they killed two or three ashab of Rasulullah ﷺ. And so, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, along with his troops, they had to retaliate. And in this entire scuffle, about 12 or 13 kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrama had died.
So we can say an isolated incident.
It is an isolated incident, because if Rasulullah ﷺ was to give the command to fight, then it would be in the thousands that would have been put to an end. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered in a very peaceful, very merciful way, in such a way that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not harsh at all to the dwellers of Makkah. And we must remember that this blessed city of Makkatul Mukarrama that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is entering is the very city in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted. The Ashab with Rasulullah ﷺ, one of the Ashab closest to Rasulullah ﷺ was a Sahabi by the name of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Everybody knows him very well, alhamdulillah. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was very close to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the entry into Makkah. Among these people were people who were so harsh to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, who saw Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala being tortured but did nothing, or rather could have encouraged that torture. There were people who persecuted the Ashab of Rasulullah ﷺ, and Rasulullah ﷺ is entering towards them in this grand and beautiful state. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leading an army of more than 10,000 Ashab. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting upon a camel, and his Mubarak blessed Amama Sharif. At the occasion of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wore a black blessed Amama Sharif upon his head, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Makkatul Mukarrama with all of this glory in the state, where all the glory is coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam shows his humbleness and thankfulness in the court of Allah azza wa jalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seen reciting ayat from Surah Fatih.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. What a victory Allah had given him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without fighting, Makkah Sharif was being conquered. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is lowered and humble, reciting the Quran Sharif that Allah had blessed him with. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
Such a leader, Sayyidi. Was never born in the history of mankind.
Absolutely.
And such a victory was never given to anyone.
Most definitely. Manasab, what question comes to my mind is that now when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is facing all of these people who persecuted the Muslims, what do they have coming for them?
Actually, you've mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned that whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, they are also given respite.
Right.
Subhanallah. And then Abu Sufyan advising everyone in Makkah. He's the leader.
Yes.
But you know what? Listen to him. If you want your safety, listen to him. Uh-huh. And they listen to him. He's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah. And at that time, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan, he embraced Islam.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wife and child. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he had previously embraced Islam secretively.
Mm-hmm.
Most probably at the occasion of Hudaybiyah. And finally, in the open now, he is reading the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his father and mother, with his parents, subhanAllah. His father, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan, and his mother Sayyida Hind radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Subhanallah. This was a new beginning for the people of Makkah in the state of Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Makkah has become Muslim.
Wow.
MashaAllah. And those who persecuted the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who tortured the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tribe of Rasulullah, Banu Hashim, we know about Shaybah Abi Talib, what happened there, and many other incidents. And they, all the perpetrators were there in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's addressing them. He says, what do you think would be done to you today?
Allahu Akbar.
Now he's first want to know their psyche, what's going in their mind. And they play very safe. They said, Akhun Kareem, Wabnu Akhin Kareem, you are a generous brother, son of a generous brother, subhanallah. And we expect nothing short of mercy from you, Allahu Akbar. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this state, and he says, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Same thing what Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam had said to his brothers, the 11 brothers that had pushed him in the well and fled the scene, thinking he is gone, his chapter is over. And he had this courage to forgive them.
Allah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the leader of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he does that to them. Allahu Akbar. He forgives them. He says, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, antum at-talaqa. Oh, you are free.
Allah.
You are free, subhanallah. And it was an occasion for celebration.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so the kuffar among the Quraysh are so joyous now that where we were expecting that we could be tortured, we could be killed. Here we are told that we are free. Here we are told that we can keep our izzah. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the blessed Ka'batullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs tawaf. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kisses Hajar al-Aswad. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breaks the idols that were kept within the Kaaba and removes the idols from the Kaaba, and then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into Kaaba and performs salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala to stand upon the Kaaba and call out the adhan. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala going upon the Kaaba and calling out the adhan showed the Quraysh that although he may have been an Abyssinian slave, he is not inferior to any of you. That was among the khutbahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that indeed, he who is superior in the court of Allah is the one who has more taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal judges us by our taqwa, not by the tribe that we come from or by the color of our skin. So subhanallah, what a beautiful lesson. Now that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given such a grand entrance in Makkatul Mukarramah with his ashab, that they enter so beautifully in such a grand way, alhamdulillah, the Ansar ashab started to develop a fear in their hearts. The Ansar are the Sahaba from Madinat al-Munawwara. They started to develop a fear in their hearts that now that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has returned to his blessed homeland, that Makkah al-Mukarramah is now under the control of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remain here in Makkah al-Mukarramah? Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of this and called the Ashab, the Ansar, and told them that, O Ansar, now my life and my demise is with you. And this is a very significant statement that we're going to learn very soon after another battle that took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned very similar to the Ansar. Makkah al-Mukarramah was under the control of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, there were some tribes close by called Hawazin and Thaqif. These are tribes that lived in Hunayn, which is not too far off from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they had a plan to attack Makkah al-Mukarramah, to attack the believers. Since they knew so many of the Ashab were in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, so they intended to attack. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one of his Ashab to go and check on them and gather information. And the Sahabi returned saying that, yes, this is not a rumor. It is true that they have gathered an army and they intend to attack us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed his army, 10,000 ashab, now along with 2,000 new Muslim ashab that were to march to Hunayn before those in Hunayn could attack the Muslims. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marched to Hunayn. Now the Ashab from Makkatul Mukarrama marching to Hunain are feeling much more motivated. Now they're feeling very strong. Now they say, who can overpower us today? But as they got closer to Hunain, when the people from Hunain, the Kuffar from Hunain, then started launching an attack, they launched such a severe attack against the Muslims, such a sudden attack against the Muslims that the army scattered. The 2,000 new Muslims had left, they had moved away. And now the Ansar and the Muhajirun had also scattered. At this point, they had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among them, and he is the one who unites hearts. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued forward, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to his right and called, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar, O group of the ansar, and they said, Labbaik ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they rushed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards his left and said, Ya lal muhajireen, O muhajirun. They said, Labbaik ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They rushed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with his ashab, had continued that attack against those who were intending to attack Makkatul Mukarrama. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, that battle too was won. Lots of mali ghanimat had come in. Yes, these people who were attacking the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had fled to nearby areas like Taif. And thus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there to lay siege upon them as well. But they were shooting arrows and they injured ashab as well. And so after a period of 18 days, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had instructed the ashab and they moved away from there. Alhamdulillah, later on we're going to learn about the people of Taif too accepting Islam. But a very beautiful point here. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Makkatul Mukarrama, those ashab that had newly come into Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them from the mali ghanimat, gave them large shares from the spoils of war. And the Ansar ashab were watching this, and some of them, especially the youth among them, felt it a little difficult upon their hearts. That how is it that we are those who obey the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We stood by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it's time for battle, we are called and we are ever ready to stand with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these people who have newly come into Islam, they are receiving large shares of mali ghanimat instead of us receiving large shares. They have larger shares than us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Ansar and said, is this true that this is what you are saying? The elders and leaders of the Ansar said, our leaders are not saying this. The elders are not saying this. Some of the youth have mentioned it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them and told them that, O Ansar, these are new to Islam. I have given them to win over their hearts.
Subhanallah.
And the Ansar Ashab said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want you as our share. We don't need wealth. We don't want the wealth. Let us have you and your presence and you coming back to us. There's nothing we love more. There's no person and there is no wealth that we could love more than we love you. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Madinatul Munawwara and continued his blessed life in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara by choice for the love that he had for the Ansar Ashab, subhanallah. And we should continue from this point, inshallah, from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continuing in Madinatul Munawwara, as well as the further plans that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired to make with his blessed Ashab. For those who have been with us all the way from the beginning, or those who have joined us along the way, Jazakallahu khairan, we very much appreciate it. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, there is so much of important ilm deen of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the timeline of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we've learned thus far, and that we are going to continue learning, inshallah. If you join us on the next episode, you're going to be part of that as well. Thank you for watching Madani channel. Keep watching Madani channel and keep reciting salawat upon your beloved, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Step by step we trace the way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.